From Deep Inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
I'm Andrew Richards.
I'm Amanda Silver.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. Amanda, you're new to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and where you come from at Microsoft.
Sure. I work on a lot of different things, actually. For the last couple of years, I've been working on the JavaScript engine that ships in IE and now in Windows for Windows web applications.
Yeah.
And then I also work on Visual Studio, basically working on the Visual Studio support for Windows applications.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And what are we going to talk about today?
JavaScript debugging.
Yeah. We thought it'd be good to follow on with JavaScript debugging after we just did all this CLR garbage collection stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the other side of the Windows Store story. You have .NET apps and you have JavaScript apps. So that's a good way to bridge the two.
All right.
Yeah. So go for it.
Go for it. Okay. So what I thought I would do is really focus on JavaScript debugging in the context of Windows web applications, because a lot of people have experience with JavaScript debugging in the browser, but Windows web applications are a little bit different. So what I'm going to do is just show you. Let's bring up the desktop just to show you kind of what I'm working on here. I have basically an encyclopedia application. And this app is just a Windows web application that connects to Wikipedia on the back end, and it just kind of takes all the content there and it resurfaces it up. Now, obviously, this is a debugging show, so I've put a lot of bugs into this program, so it doesn't work right now. But let's bring it up just so you can see it.
So the bugs are deliberate.
The bugs are deliberate right now. So let's just bring it up. I'm going to bring it up without actually attaching the debugger. But you can see that the content here, the topics itself, are actually populated by Wikipedia. And, you know, I can scroll here. This is just using the normal kind of list view control that ships as part of WinJS. And actually, if you create a new project in Windows, in Visual Studio, for Windows in Visual Studio, one of the item template types is, I think, the grid view. Mm. And this is basically based on the grid view.
Cool.
But, of course, obviously, you know, we're not seeing the right pictures here.
It's not really up to the standard.
It's not up to the quality level that I'd like to see, right? And if I click one of these things, it actually crashed. So that what you just saw there was a crash. So, obviously, let's go in and fix that first thing.
Yep.
So, let's go into the desktop. Let's go into, this is the application here. We have Encyclopedia app. And then we have, you know, JavaScript files here, HTML and CSS. And obviously, we're going to spend most of our time in the JavaScript portion of it. So the first thing that we're going to do is just go in and rather than, like, I would like to be able to catch all of my unhandled exceptions, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want my app to crash. I actually want to be able to catch that and log it to a file so that, you know, I can upload that to some kind of store or something like that. So if I go into the default JS. Now, most of this is basically templated code that kind of comes with your Visual Studio
mm-hmm.
create new project experience. If I go to the, and I find the app dot, this is a new keyboard for me, add event listener. Okay, now we see basically what happens when the app is actually activated.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to do in here.
So that's when it comes to the foreground and is like is resumed, right?
Yeah, so basically there are lots of different things that can actually activate your app.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from, you know, you just click on the tile and that actually brings up your application, to I do a search, and because my app participates in the search contract, that can actually activate my app as well.
Okay.
So I'm just going to zoom in real quick just to make this font size a little bit bigger. And
that's control mouse wheel, right?
Control mouse wheel, yeah. Now, in ever since, not this last version of Visual Studio, but the one before that,
mm-hmm.
We actually can now do control mouse scroll, which
that's pretty cool.
Pretty nice.
Which I think has been IE for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so. So I'm just going to write winjs.utilities. Since isn't coming up. There it is. Start log. And now what the start log does, so winjs.utilities.startlog is basically a very simple way to take a log from your application and store it to a file. By default, it actually logs it to the console, which is okay for right now. What you know you might want to do in your application is log it to a file and then kind of upload that file for your application. So what I'm going to do is just pass in a type, and the type will be error. And then I will close this, and so on and so forth. So there you go. And then the other thing that I'm going to do is actually add what should happen on an error, when an error is actually experienced by the application. So if I go to the bottom of the file, then what I'm going to do is create a new function, basically an event handler, that does app.onError. So you'll see this here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to create a new function that is an error handler. And then
I think you deleted yourself by accident.
Oh, did I do that?
Yeah, Control-Z a couple times.
Control-Z. Yep. There we go. Thanks. Sorry. New keyboard, like I said. Then what I'm going to do is just create an error and get the stack. So one of the things that we did in IE 10, we made it possible to get the error.stack programmatically. So I can actually store that, and then I can put that into my log file. And of course, I can also do that in Windows Web Applications as well. WinJS.log. Now, one of the things I have to do is actually check to make sure that the log has been initiated before I start to write to it, or else I get another exception, right? So.
And would that cause an infinite loop in itself?
No, it won't. This is just basically checking to make sure that the member has been initialized.
Okay.
And then assuming that the member, once we prove that the member has been initialized, then we can actually call a function on it. So I'm just going to go winjs.log, and then just say unhandled error. This does feel a little bit like cooking class, doesn't it?
It does. It's still awesome, though.
What?
It's still awesome.
It feels like Julia Child a little bit. We failed to catch.
I did
the trackpad thing again, didn't
you
I?
You did.
Sorry about that. We failed to catch the error. And then I'm going to just pass in true. And then I'm going to stop the debugger. Just like that, because I don't want the app to terminate when I'm actually connected with
the
debugger.
So the debugger's a keyword that says
debugger's a keyword that basically says stop. Yeah.
And what happens if you don't have a debugger attached if that was in the code?
Then basically it's a no op. It will crash. It won't stop the debugger. But in this case, you know, obviously I'm logging an error. So
roughly it's in the equivalent of a C world. It's if debugger attached,
yes,
debug break.
Exactly. Yep. Right. So now I'm going to actually run it again with the debugger. This is now loading the Encyclopedia app. Reloading, so it's actually doing a repackaging of all of the files, putting them into an appx package, and then kind of deploying that to the WWA. And then I click on this, and we actually stop at the debugger, just as I said, which is a great thing. So now, one of the things that we've also added is much improved call stacks in JavaScript. You know, I think you guys do mostly what, C and C# programming?
Yeah.
So you guys are used to like great debugging support in the call stacks and locals and watch windows.
Everything's great, yeah.
JavaScript, you know, first of all, it's a runtime oriented language. It's not strongly typed. Secondly, you know, a lot of people kind of think about JavaScript as primarily a scripting language, and really only in the past couple of years has it come into its own and actually become an application programming language, right?
Mm.
And so part of that, the tools are a little bit nascent. So one of the things that we can do is we can actually go and look at the call stack, which is actually much better than it used to be. We actually have line numbers and things like that that we didn't have before.
So that's a data type, right? It's not just like a string table or something. It's a type that the stack itself is a type that the debugger, that the object has made, the JS object has made.
Yeah, that's a good question. So we have kind of both debugging support that is kind of similar to the same call stack support that you would have in C or C#, where a debug-e process is basically attached to the Visual Studio debugger on the back end. Yep. And so it's actually doing like instrumentation to kind of get the call stack information. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I showed you before in terms of the error.stack, that really is a programmatic object that is available at runtime in the JavaScript context, even when a debugger is not attached.
Okay.
So there's kind of two stack representations that we're dealing with here. Yep. In this case, this is really populated by the debug-e process, which is the Encyclopedia app and Visual Studio connecting via the debugging API, connecting to that Encyclopedia process and actually extracting out the stack.
Rather than being a property of the object.
Right, exactly. It's not basically populated by the runtime.
Yep.
And actually that's a good lead-in to what I'm about to talk about, because one of the things that you can see here is that even though we see the error handler, and then we can kind of see that there was a dispatch to this error handler in the call stack, that says absolutely nothing about my program, right? Mm-hmm. None of this is like my code,
yes.
Right? I have default.js, that's the only thing that was my code, and base.js is part of WinJS.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not part of my code. And why is this happening, right?
Yeah.
Well, part of it is that this is all basically based on a lot of Windows web application programming is based on asynchronous programming, which is actually different than web programming.
Yes.
Right? In web programming, it's asynchronous in that you're doing event handling all the time, but it's not quite the same type of asynchronous programming as you do in Windows web applications, where you basically call and it's a fire and call me back kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
Truly an asynchronous kind of control execution flow. And so what we really need here is a way to kind of get an idea of what were the asynchronous calls that happened prior to this call that caused this error to actually get thrown. So there is a way to do that. So if we go to the console window, then one of the things that I can do is I can go in here. Now, because I'm accessing the programmatic call stack, I'm actually getting a much better call stack than what the debuggy and kind of the VS attached debugger is getting from the program.
So the JavaScript one's giving you the current context, but doesn't give you any...
It gives you the current context, but it gives you none of the information about the control flow of the program. And if we look here, and we kind of start to look at some of these things in the call stack, we actually see one more critical piece of information that actually points to something in my program, which is this item detail page,
mm-hmm.
Line 18, column 13, right? So if we go in here to the item detail page, under this one,
it was line 8, I think.
Yeah. Line 8. There we go. If we go back to this console and look at it, we see that the reference error options is undefined. Okay. Well, what...
Okay.
Okay. So let's just search for,
let's find the undefined
options.
Line.
Yeah. So if we look for options in here, we see that, actually the first time that I'm referring to this is in this first line, line 8 here.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see the program mirror?
I can't. Well, I'm guessing it should be called tile options maybe. But
No. So the problem here is that I actually used the same argument name twice in the function. Right, so I actually didn't take one of the arguments and assign it to options. And this is actually a fairly common error. People just kind of, it's a typo.
Yeah.
And the problem is that because JavaScript is not a strongly typed programming language,
it doesn't care.
And it's really not that rigid as in terms of like comparing it to C#, it really doesn't care and it doesn't give you any compile time errors.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with a situation like that? Well, one of the things that I certainly would recommend is there's something that's new in IE10 and part of the latest ECMAScript standard called ECMAScript 6 that is called use strict.
It's like good old Visual Basic.
It is kind of like Visual Basic. But one of the things that you'll see is that as soon as you see the use strict in there, you'll actually see that I get an error on this element here.
Oh, that's cool.
And if we mouse over this, we should get an idea of what the actual error is. We might need to stop debugging.
I want to scroll in and zoom up too.
Yeah. Duplicate formal parameter names are not allowed in strict mode. So this is something that's actually part of the standard, as I mentioned, and this is something that actually works in Firefox, works in Chrome. Of course, it works in IE as well as in Windows web applications.
So what do you need installed for that option to be available? Is it straight Visual Studio 2010?
It's just a modern browser, right? And so you need to be dealing with something that has a more recent version of the JavaScript language.
So this feature is coming from IE, it's not coming from Visual Studio itself.
Yeah, so basically the way that that works is that for any given version of Visual Studio, it corresponds to a version of IE. Mm-hmm. And so we make sure that the JavaScript language service that's in Visual Studio matches the latest language service that's in IE. And so in the case of Visual Studio 2012, it matched IE 10. Mm-hmm. Right? So this has the latest support for what shipped in IE 10.
Cool.
Yeah. So now that we have that, now I can just go...
So would you suggest that people put that in every one of their modules?
Just yeah. So there's actually a little bit of trick around it, because use strict, like, there are things that I love about use strict. There are things that I don't love about use strict. One of the things that's kind of challenging about use strict is that rather than being something that just gives you earlier errors about your program, it actually... can also change the semantics of the way that your program runs in some cases.
Oh.
And so one of the things that that can cause, especially when you use it in a certain way, there's something that we call the concatenation error in useStrict, where there are two ways to use useStrict. I can either do it in the context of a function, like this, or I can also, oops, cool.
Waiting.
I don't know what I did there. Nice.
You did a background operation.
I did. I apparently did a background operation. Or I can also do it at the top of the file. And that will actually apply the same rules. Mm-hmm. But the problem in JavaScript is, unlike in C# or other strongly typed programming languages, where they kind of take all of their files and then they just... you compile them and it thinks of things in terms of files. In JavaScript, because we tend to do things like minification all the time, where you basically take a bunch of files and you compress them into a single file so that when they're being shipped over the wire, they're actually a much smaller payload. So what can happen is, if you use it at the top of the file, then what will happen is it doesn't just apply to the file that you had here. It also applies to any file that has been concatenated by a minifier after that, right? And so that's it's one thing if it's just doing things like checking for various kinds of programmatic errors. It's another thing if it actually changes the semantics of your program, because you can actually end up with runtime errors that you kind of weren't expecting. And minifiers also, like build systems, generally are not super deterministic. And so what can happen is you can build once, it can work fine, you can test it, and then the next time when you actually deploy it to the production server, you can actually end up concatenating it in a different order, and then you end up with useStrict applying it to some files and not others, and then you end up with different semantics. So the best practice is generally to always use useStrict in the context of a function declaration.
So does it go down to a block? So if you put it inside a brace, it won't do
that? No, so there's really only two ways to do it. One is at the top of the file, and the other is inside a function declaration.
Function scope.
Yeah, function scope.
Cool.
So now that we've done that, we can actually come back here, and we can change this back to options. I think that's the right order. And then we can just hit F5 again. Now we still have the ugly pictures. But we actually do load the topic content, which is good.
Awesome.
So that's kind of first first bug fixed, basically. So now let's keep going. Let's fix some of the pictures, and also I'd like to kind of go through some pinning the app. You guys have pinned your apps before?
Oh, yeah.
So there are some bugs that I've put in that portion of the program, too.
Cool.
I don't want to do that. So let's go back here.
I'm a fan of Alt F4. Alt F4 still works for closing apps.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
I never do that.
And if you're Alt F4 on the desktop, it gives you the shutdown dialog.
Cool. So you never tried that.
So you don't have to chime in and go.
Well, I'm going to have to try that next time. Okay. So next demo. One thing I should also say, in addition to use Strict, there are also things like that we call lint checkers or JS hint. Have you guys ever heard of those mm-hmm. things? Yeah. So let me just show you kind of how to use those as well. If we go to, we can delete that. If we go to www.jslint.com, then we'll actually see that, you know, one of the things that I can do is just take some source from another location. I can take all of this, for example, and I can.
So this website's Microsoft, or is it a consortium thing?
This is like a open source project that actually came from, originally it came from Douglas Crockford, who wrote JavaScript The Good Parts, which is kind of necessary reading for anybody on my team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But so there's one way that you can basically take your code and you can upload it to this website and you can do lint checking that way. There's also another way that you can do it directly in Visual Studio, which is just if you go to, let's see. If you go into, let's see, into tools, there are JS Lint options. And then we basically have, it's a CodePlex extension that just integrates JS Lint directly into your program. So you can actually just start to check it directly in the context of Visual Studio without having to export it to a website or something like that, or a command line.
Yep.
Nice. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And those errors come up in the standard error dialog at the end when you...
Yeah, so basically when you build, you can actually set your JS Lint options to say when you want it to actually run. So in this context, it says run JS Lint on build. So cool. If I did a formal build, then I'd get it in the error window. Okay, so now what I want to do is actually try to pin a topic. So if I go and hit F5 again, and let's say I wanted to pin Einstein, Windows Z. This should come up when I bring up this topic. I should be able to pin it. Now you'll see that, first of all, the picture is not the picture that I want it to be. And then the other thing is that this object name, like the title, is not really the object name that I want it to be. So if I were to pin this to the start menu and then go back to start, then come over here and see it. Ugh.
Yeah, not pretty.
That's not really what you want, right? So let's go back and fix that. So what I'm going to do is just go into the pin, into the item detail page, which is what happens when I have an actual topic up. And then I'm going to go to the pin. Let's see. Where is it? Okay. So if we look down here, then what I'm going to do is just put a breakpoint on the first error in here and try it again. Let's stop debugging and do it one more time. Go in here and bring up the Windows Z and pin, and we actually see this here. So if we start to step through, let's see.
I think you stepped into.
Yeah, I stepped into, thanks. 10. 10. we see that the tile is, you know, probably the right tile, etc.
Is what I have seen.
Yeah, sorry. The display name title, that's right, Einstein, right? And F10, we see the short name. That's the problem there. So what we see here is that I actually have a typo, that the tile should be title instead. And of course, this is not even something that a lint checker would catch, because I actually have a variable called tile in here. So the fact that I used title instead of tile is.
And so I did a type conversion of roughly, say, give me the string name
of the object. Yeah, exactly. And again, because JavaScript is not a strongly typed programming language, this is the kind of thing that you can do all the time.
Well, I don't think even C# would pick that up.
C# I would say that the statically typed nature of C# would actually pick that up, but because .NET has this thing where we will call toString, you're ever trying to convert an object to a string. It's kind of this small detail on how you can kind of get around type checking in C#, that can trip you up sometimes.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. You might run into this error in C# too, but that's a choice. So I can go ahead and I can actually, you know, just change this to title. Hit F5 again. Try to pin it. Let's hit F5 again. Sorry. I need to. Sorry, guys. Okay. Let's take this breakpoint out. Hit F5.
I think you're still debugging.
Yeah, thank you. Come on, mouse. There we are. Pin. And now we have Einstein, which is much better.
Awesome.
But we still have the error. We still have the problem around the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was going to show next is basically some memory analysis tools. And then actually we have, fix that picture error, I actually have to do some mixed mode debugging into native code.
Cool stuff.
But maybe that's actually a good thing for us to cover next time.
Definitely.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that's the show
Sounds
for this
good.
Week. If you have questions, you can leave them in the show notes below. Or you can email us at defragtools@microsoft.com, and we'll get back to you there. See you next week.
Have a week.